Today's broadcast is brought to you by AlleyRepair.com. Don't leave your skee-ball machines lying around collecting dust in the basement. Let AlleyRepair.com bring those machines back to life. High-quality workmanship for your skee-ball playing needs. Contact AlleyRepair.com today. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's Fro Life Football Podcast. This episode, we look at the results of Wild Card Week and look ahead to next week's divisional round playoff brackets. First thing we look at is the 27-14 beatdown by the Houston Texans over the Oakland Raiders. You know, this game, it's really a shame how things turned out. It looked like the Oakland Raiders were on a clear path to the Super Bowl, and then the huge injury, Derek Carr going down. Matt McGloin not doing much better, lasting a very short part of the game last week. And now this week, the Raiders had to turn to Connor Cook. Now, don't get me wrong. This is a third-string quarterback coming in into a playoff game, going 18-45 for 161, one touchdown, three picks. But the reality is, Connor Cook shouldn't have had to throw the ball 45 times. All year, we've seen Latavius Murray, we've seen Washington, we've seen Richard, we've seen them all rushing the ball very well. And this game was just out of control early. You know, the Houston Texans are, you know, most of the season begging Brock Osweiler to do anything of any substance. And then look at yesterday. He comes out, he doesn't necessarily put up great stats, 14-25, 168, and one touchdown, but he also didn't have any turnovers. He didn't throw any picks. He didn't fumble the ball away. You know, he even had a rushing touchdown. You know, Osweiler, 6 carries, 15 yards, and a touchdown also. You know, you got to think about how different this would have been had Derek Carr been able to be there. You know, the Houston Texans came into the game with the number one ranked defense in the NFL, and it was a defensive fired on all cylinders. Jadeveon Clowney looked amazing. Interception, constant pressure in the face. Can you imagine what this guy would do if he had J.J. Watt rushing with him? I just can't imagine what the Houston Texans defense would be like with all their key players playing all at the same time and just absolutely tearing up opposing teams. But this game totally got out of control. Connor Cook had nothing going. You know, his leading receiver of the day was Andre Holmes, 4 catches, 50 yards, and a touchdown. But at the end of the day, when you can't get Michael Crabtree the ball, when you can't get Amari Cooper the ball, when you can't get Latavius Murray up and running, and Murray had a touchdown, but 12 carries, 39 yards is not going to cut it in the playoff game. Lamar Miller, in all honesty, he had 31 carries himself, 73 yards, and a touchdown, but 31 carries, 73 yards. That's garbage. Absolute garbage. The Oakland Raiders, they have got several guys on that team that are run stuffers. I get that. But one of these two teams is going to have to go into next week and try to pull off a miracle. And it just doesn't look like that's going to happen. You know, DeAndre Hopkins looked a little better than he has most of the season. He caught 5 passes and caught a touchdown. Had a 38-yard bomb thrown to him. You know, he looked solid. Will Fuller gave some contributions, 4 catches, 37. But at the end of the day, this game was sloppy. You know, Osweiler didn't do anything of any seriousness. Connor Cook obviously wasn't expected to do much. But next week is going to be a total laugh fest. The Houston Texans are going to end up going to face the New England Patriots, the number one team in all of football. And when you got a quarterback throughout the entire NFL season through a lackluster 15 touchdowns, and you're going up against Tom Brady, who missed 4 games, still put out 28 touchdowns, and, you know, threw for over 3,500 yards. I just don't see any way for the Houston Texans to mean anything. That game, by the way, the Texans at the Patriots will be next Saturday night, 8:15 p.m. on CBS. That is going to be an absolute blowout. That's just my perspective. I understand you got the great defense, but you've got and going against the great offense. But the reality is, New England Patriots defense is nothing to sneeze at. They're going to be there to take care of the Houston Texans. So, you know, the winner of that match coming out of the Oakland Raiders and Houston Texans game was bound to go into a horrible situation next week, anyways. But at the end of the day, kind of sad to say that Derek Carr is not going to get a shot at any kind of playoff glory this year after that amazing season he put together, and the Raiders look like a shell of themselves on offense. Moving on, also in the AFC, tonight, the Pittsburgh Steelers 30-12 over the Miami Dolphins. Talk about another lopsided endeavor. You know, the Dolphins for a while there were on a hot streak. They looked solid. They looked like they were really going to do something. And then again, Ryan Tannehill goes down with an injury. We get Matt Moore coming in relief. Now, again, not doing too bad. 29-36, 289, on one touchdown, one pick. Solid numbers for a guy who's pretty much a scrub. You know, he came and did his job, but you have Jay Ajayi not doing well, 16 carries, 33 yards, got hurt during the game. Shouldn't be anything serious, but they needed Ajayi to click. Landry did great, catching 11 balls for 102 yards, but nobody got in the end zone. And garbage one touchdown in garbage time. But the reality was, by the time the Dolphins got anything going, the Pittsburgh Steelers looked like the Steelers of old. Ben Roethlisberger didn't have to do much of anything in this game. He only threw the ball 18 times, completed 13 passes, 197 yards, threw two touchdowns, and had two picks. But that's okay when you got someone like Antonio Brown catching 124 yards and two touchdowns all by himself. 62-yard bombs, 50-yard bombs. You know, when you get touchdown efficiency like that, it's tough to stop. And then on the other side of the ball, you got Le'Veon Bell, 29 carries, 167 yards, two touchdowns. This guy, he's so frustrating. 2 years in a row, missing time for various nefarious activities in the offseason, missing time for the Steelers when they needed them most. And at the end of the day, it may not even matter. This team is clicking on all cylinders. The defense for the Steelers has been lights out. It's going to be interesting to watch what happens next week when they go to Kansas City and play the Chiefs, who also killer defense. But on the flip side, the Chiefs, they got to worry about offense. You know, Alex Smith this year, I was just got done talking about Brock Osweiler throwing 15 touchdowns all year. That's all Alex Smith did. Now, the difference is Alex Smith threw for 3,500 yards. So there's some opportunity there for Alex Smith to throw the ball. But Ben Roethlisberger, year in, year out, 3,800 yards this year, 29 touchdowns. Le'Veon Bell, missing games, still has 7 touchdowns and 1,268 yards. You know, even the backups, D'Angelo Williams for the Steelers this year, had 4 touchdowns and 300 and some yards. And it's just, the Steelers look like they may be giving the Kansas City Chiefs fits next Sunday at 1:05 p.m. on NBC. You know, when you look at the Kansas City Chiefs side of the ball, Spencer Ware has been their go-to guy in the running game, but he missed last game. And, you know, Charcandrick West stepped up, looked good for a little while there, but the reality is, if the Kansas City Chiefs want to have any chance of beating the Pittsburgh Steelers, they need to get the running game going early. Travis Kelce's emerged as one of the greatest tight ends in the game right now. He had 1,125 yards this year. He had 4 touchdowns this year. Tyreek Hill has emerged with 6 touchdowns receiving, and as well as being a threat in the return game. Jeremy Maclin missed huge chunks of time this year, but he still managed to get 536 yards and 2 TDs. So, you know, there's plenty of role players on the Kansas City Chiefs team who could do something here in the playoffs, but you're going against a Pittsburgh Steelers team that is absolutely red hot, and I really don't see anybody slowing them down. We go back to Saturday's games and watching the Seahawks trounce the Lions 26-6. This wasn't even a competition. You know, that really, in all seriousness, Matthew Stafford had a great year, but he was completely outclassed yesterday. That Seahawk defense was all over the field. Russell Wilson, again, kind of like Ben Roethlisberger, didn't have to do too much. He did throw the ball 30 times, completing 23 passes, and he did throw 2 touchdowns and had 224 yards. So, you know, there's a stat line there. But at the end of the day, it was all Thomas Rawls. 27 carries, 161 yards, a touchdown, the 161 yards, a Seahawks franchise record for the playoffs. Doug Baldwin, 11 catches, 104 yards, touchdown. This was the third postseason 100-yard game for Doug Baldwin, which is also a Seahawks franchise record. Paul Richardson was like the star of the day for the Seahawks with this crazy behind-the-back swoop and curl and cover touchdown catch in the end zone. Absolutely phenomenal play of the weekend. Jimmy Graham kind of disappeared again, 3 for 37, didn't really do much. Jermaine Kearse is known to come up big in the playoffs, but he really didn't do anything either. 2 catches, 14 yards. On the Lions side of things, Zach Zenner averaging 3.3 a carry against that run defense is actually relatively successful, but the rest of the team just never showed up. Zenner actually caught 6 passes for 50 or 4 yards too. If he didn't do all the work that he did, I don't know where the Lions would have been at the end of the game. Otherwise, there was only one receiver over 50 yards. That was Marvin Jones, who had 4 for 81, but 30 of those came on one long bomb and didn't go into the end zone, so it really didn't help as much as it needed to. You know, the Seahawks, they have an opportunity next week to go to the big rematch with the Atlanta Falcons Saturday, 4:35 p.m. on Fox. That is going to be the game of the week. You know, there was a lot of excitement when these two teams played each other the first time this year. And the reality is that going into next week's game, you're looking at one team that has just been insane on offense this year. And the other team, same on defense. Matt Ryan has thrown 38 touchdowns this year, just shy of 5,000 yards. He has just, it's been almost like a coming out party for him. He looks like the young Matt Ryan from 4 or 5 years ago. Julio Jones, in all reality, Julio Jones had a 1,400-yard season, but he only caught 6 touchdowns. Tyler Gabriel has been the secret weapon for this Atlanta Falcons. He also has 6 touchdowns. The big free agent acquisition over the summer, Mohamed Sanu, 4 touchdowns. You know, he didn't really contribute much. Devonta Freeman, and Tevin Coleman, the running backs, they were a huge part of the offense. 11 for Freeman, 8 touchdowns for Coleman. It doesn't matter which side of the ball you're looking at, the Falcons can score, but the question really remains, can they score on a Seattle Seahawks defense, allowing one of the league's lowest rushing totals, allowing one of the league's lowest passing totals per game. So this is going to be an interesting matchup. You know, when you got the Seahawks with someone like Thomas Rawls, who's really, I mean, in the last 2 weeks, he's really starting to wake up. He's starting to get his legs under him. You know, he missed that good chunk of time. Christine Michael was in there for a while. They shipped him out, and now Rawls is able to take control of the game again. It'll be very exciting to see how this all plays out. You know, these two teams, if there was one dream match left in the playoffs, you know, prior to the Super Bowl itself, this might be it. And then the last score of the night, the late game on Sunday, the Packers just totally destroying the New York Giants, 38-13. You know, Aaron Rodgers, he's the magic man. He has been on fire for the last month and a half to 2 months. 4 touchdowns, 362 yards, 25 of 40 for passing, no interceptions. Christine Michael, we just spoke about him, he got into the game a bit today, 10 carries, 47 yards. Ty Montgomery, 11 carries, 27 yards. Ripkowski even got another touchdown. Devontae Adams, the man this year, 8 catches, 125 and a touchdown. Randall Cobb, 5 catches, 116 and 3 touchdowns. Randall Cobb has been like overlooked for weeks now. For a better part of 3 months, he disappeared. Now all of a sudden we get to the playoffs and boom, Randall Cobb. Jared Cook looks solid, 5 catches, 48 yards. Going against Eli Manning and the Giants. Eli Manning, look, I hate to say it, man, but it might be time for him to start thinking about riding off in the sunset with the performances like he's been putting up the last couple years in the playoffs. 299 yards passing on 23 of 44, 1 touchdown, 1 pick. The running game didn't really get going. Paul Perkins, 10 carries, 30 yards. Rashad Jennings, 5 carries, 29 yards. They just couldn't get anything going on the ground. When your leading yardage receiver is a guy named King, who you didn't even know about last week, the only guy who can get into the end zone, that's scary. When you got people like Sterling Shepard, Odell Beckham, Victor Cruz on your team, you got to be able to get your 3 stars into that end zone. And that just didn't happen today. The Giants look completely overmatched. And the Green Bay Packers are heading into Dallas next week. We're at 4:40 p.m. Weird time. 4:40 on Fox next week, next Sunday. They face the Dallas Cowboys. Those streaking Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Jackson combination that has really let the world on fire this year. You know, Dak Prescott, for a rookie, 3,667 yards, 23 touchdowns as a rookie. That's amazing. Ezekiel Elliott, 322 carries his rookie year, 1,631 yards, 5.1 yards per carry, 15 touchdowns just in the rushing game. You know, they've got Dez Bryant back and healthy. Missing all that time that Dez missed, he still accumulated 8 touchdowns this year. Cole Beasley's been a crazy receiving threat this year. He's actually the leading receiver on the team with 833 yards and 5 TDs. He subbed very well for Dez Bryant while he was out. Jason Witten, he's ageless. 69 catches this year, 673 yards, 3 touchdowns. A typical Jason Witten season. It's just a little bit of contribution from everybody. Even Terrence Williams got into the game this year with 4 touchdowns and almost 600 yards. They're going to be matched up with Aaron Rodgers. Now, when you look at those two teams side by side, there's a big lean, obviously, in the running game to the Dallas Cowboys. The receiving game, you got to look at Jordy Nelson and Devontae Adams, 14 and 12 touchdowns between the two of them. That's not counting the playoff games. So you're looking at a team that between two players, 26 touchdowns versus a Cowboys team that only had 23 on the season for their whole team. This is going to be a crazy matchup. The Green Bay Packers this year, the reason I actually am favoring the Packers, and trust me, I don't want to do that. I actually own Dallas Cowboys season tickets, 20 different seats in Dallas, even though I don't live anywhere near Dallas. They are my friends on the NFL ticket exchange when I sell those babies. And I am not expecting to get an NFC championship game for the Cowboys because I am predicting the Green Bay Packers are going to go to Dallas and walk out going into the NFC championship game. I just don't see anybody stopping Aaron Rodgers right now. As a matter of fact, if I had to go out on a limb right now, I think Aaron Rodgers and the Packers are the team to beat. Even despite the fact that the Patriots have been so red hot, I think Aaron Rodgers and the Packers are the team to shut down the Patriots in the Super Bowl. That's all the time we have for this episode, but check back with us in episode 4 where we'll review the divisional round of action and look ahead to the championship week in the NFL. Special thanks go out to bensound.com and purpleplanet.com for producing all the music and sound effects used throughout today's show. Today's podcast was sponsored in part by fastweb.com. Search FastWeb's database and help your student access scholarships and financial aid information with the FastWeb free and easy to use scholarship search engine. Investigate the college of your dreams with the FastWeb College Profile search engine. Let FastWeb be your guide to higher education. To the U.S. News and World Report Best Colleges 2017, available now at Amazon.com and Barnes & Noble. Defafi Metal Detectors Plus. Whether you're the casual hunter, the energetic beachcomber, or the underwater enthusiast, Defafi detectors have the solutions for all your metal detector needs. And DeFuFu Games, newest game of strategy and collective fun. It's Legendary Elements. Travel around the universe collecting items that'll make you the master of the elements. Get your copy today at www.thegamecrafter.com/legendaryelements now. And let's go thank A&B Education of Lansdale, bringing intercultural education to talented students from around the world. We want to thank you for listening to today's podcast, and we encourage you to go to our website at www.frolifeplanning.com to learn more about what Mr. Fro can do for you on your path to higher education. Remember, Fro Life Educational Planning is for today, for tomorrow, and for life with Fro Life. I'm Fred Froelich, better known as Mr. Fro, and I want to thank you for taking a few moments with us today, and we look forward to chatting with all of you once again. But for now, be safe and enjoy some of those football games next weekend. Take care, everybody.